This is Pastor Emery with the third and final broadcast on the Bible and vaccination. The people of the United States are the most vaccinated and supposedly disease-immunized people in all the world. And yet cancer, heart disease, poor eyesight, birth deformities, and dysfunction of the nerves and the brain are increasing in America. Are vaccinations a blessing, or are they a curse upon our people? The answer may startle you. In the last two broadcasts, we have been talking about health, diseases, vaccinations, and Bible law. And I pointed out that the Christian Bible has very detailed and specific ordinances on sanitation and on the treatment of infections and diseases among the people. Several pages in the book of Leviticus outline the procedure for washing and cleansing of wounds, of infections, and of bandages and clothes of those who are ill or injured. By and large today, we realize that clean clothes, a clean body, and clean surroundings are necessary for good health and absolutely imperative for recovery of health to those who are ill. However, many Christians still do not know that these imperatives and other procedures to maintain good health and avoid injurious disease are written in the Holy Bible. They assume these sanitary measures are things discovered by the medical profession. As a result, they have the mistaken impression that it is the so-called medical profession which has come up with all of these ideas which tend toward health, and they therefore should accept the promotion of the doctors as being true in all cases. Such we find with vaccines. Since it is doctors who recommend them, the people think they must be all right, and millions of Americans dose themselves and their children with shot after shot of substances about which they know very little, or in most cases, absolutely nothing. Parents of small children usually warn their children not to accept drinks or candy or gifts from strangers, warning them the stranger may harm them. And yet they follow the orders of strangers in the medical profession and strangers in the government health services to inject so-called vaccines into their little children without so much as a question as to what the vaccine is, what side effects or long-term effects it may have on the health and lives of their children. Turn with me to Exodus 15. I'm going to read for you the very first promise of blessing God made to Israel after they were delivered from Egypt and brought through the Red Sea. Some of you Bible students may be startled to find out what it is about. In the first part of Exodus is the story of all the plagues upon Egypt and Israel being delivered. In chapter 14 is described the passing through the Red Sea and the destruction of the Egyptians who attempted to follow and recapture the Israelites. Then the first part of chapter 15 is a song Moses repeated to the children of Israel regarding this miraculous deliverance. In verse 22 through 25, we find that they found no water at first and then impure water, which God then purified for them, the first miracle on the other side of the Red Sea. And then we read this in the last part of verse 25 and verse 26. And there he made for them a statute and an ordinance, and there he proved them or tested them and said, if thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and will do that which is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee, or giveth thee health. How about that? The very first promise of God to Israel after they left Egypt, and before he gave them the Ten Commandments at Mount Sinai, was a promise of good health for obedience to his law. Health was to come from God. No mention is made of doctors, medicines, or hospitals. For Christians who think of the Bible as only a spiritual book, that promise of physical health probably comes as a surprise. God promises health to Israel for obedience. Is it possible that our people's rapidly weakening physical health is a result of our disobedience to God's law? I believe it is. Turn to Deuteronomy 7. This is after the Ten Commandments and the several hundred statutes were given to Israel. And before I read this, I should state for new listeners, I believe and I teach that the Anglo-Saxon, Germanic, Scandinavian, and kindred peoples are descendants of scattered Israel. We are Israelites, and America is the new promised land. So this is spoken directly to and about our race and our nation. Deuteronomy 7, beginning in verse 6. For thou art an holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto himself, above all people that are upon the face of the earth. In our first broadcast, we examined that word holy and found it meant set aside for God's use, and our race has been used of God for his purposes. The Bible and history testify to that. God has dealt with the Anglo-Saxon Israelites as he has dealt with no other people on earth. Verse 7, the Lord did not set his love upon you nor choose you because ye were more in number than any people, for ye were the fewest of all people. And we still are. Our race today constitutes less than 15% of the earth's population. Verse 8, but because the Lord loved you, and because he would keep the oath which he had sworn unto your fathers, hath the Lord brought you out with a mighty hand, and redeemed you out of the house of bondmen from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him, and keep his commandments to a thousand generations. Now I might insert here, for you folks who have been taught, that God's law was ended when Christ came. That thousand generations would be between 25,000 and 40,000 years, if you took the phrase literally, and if you took it as a figure of speech, it really means forever. Verse 10, and repayeth them that hate him to their face to destroy them. He will not be slack to him that hateth him, he will repay him to his face. Thou shalt therefore keep the commandments, and the statutes, and the judgments, which I commanded thee this day to do them. And then follows the promise of blessing if Israel obeys, beginning in verse 12. Wherefore it shall come to pass, if ye hearken to these judgments, and keep and do them, that the Lord thy God shall keep unto thee the covenant and the mercy which he sware unto thy fathers. And he will love thee, and bless thee, and multiply thee. He will also bless the fruit of thy womb, and the fruit of thy land, thy corn, and thy wine, and thine oil, the increase of thy kine, and the flocks of thy sheep, in the land which he sware unto thy fathers to give thee. Thou shalt be blessed above all people. There shall not be male or female barren among you, or among your cattle. And the Lord will take away from thee all sickness, and will put none of the evil diseases of Egypt, which thou knowest, upon thee, but will lay them upon all them that hate thee. Let me read that again. For obedience to God's law by Israel, quote, and the Lord will take away from thee all sickness, and will put none of the evil diseases of Egypt which thou knowest upon thee. America now has all the diseases of Egypt, and they are getting worse. America now spends over 10% of its gross national income on medical care, and diseases once thought to affect only the elderly, such as cancer, heart disease, and so on, are being found more and more in little children and teenagers. During the Vietnam War, Army doctors performed autopsies on thousands of American boys killed in combat. They found that 70% of them had arteriosclerosis, or hardening of the arteries. Their average age was 22. Why is all this happening? Well, the Bible tells us quite plainly. Turn with me to Deuteronomy 28. The first 14 verses list blessings for obedience to God's law. Read it. It fits the America from 1620 to the 1800s. The last 54 verses warn of curses for disobedience. They fit America today. Listen to a few. Verse 21 and 22, the Lord shall make the pestilence cleave unto thee, until he have consumed thee from off the land, whither thou goest to possess it. The Lord shall smite thee with a consumption, and with a fever, and with an inflammation, and with an extreme burning, and with the sword, and with blasting, and with mildew, and they shall pursue thee until thou perish. Verse 27. The Lord will smite thee with the botch of Egypt, and some believe that is cancer, and with the emerods, and with the scab, and with the itch, whereof thou canst not be healed. Diseases which cannot be healed would come upon Israel. You should read verse 35 and verse 58 through 61. To understand the enormity of our sin and our judgment, here are a few other curses which were to come upon Israel for disobedience. Defeat in war, verse 25. Increasing marital infidelity, verse 20. High taxation by government, verse 30, verse 31, and verse 38 through 41. Your labor and production to be given to aliens, verse 33. Massive debts upon the people, finally culminating in aliens of other races ruling over us, verse 43 and 44. Most of you know those things are happening to us, and now the diseases are here. Is it all just happenstance? Is it just the work of fate and chance? Or is it the judgment of God? Now, during these three broadcasts, I have stated, I believe, that vaccines are a cause of many of these diseases. And that is probably very hard for many of you to believe, and you will say, but everybody knows vaccines stop diseases. Why do you believe that? I'll give you at least a partial reason. Your government tells you they do. But most of you are beginning to realize the government lies to you about many things. Why do you believe government officials about vaccines? You've also been propagandized about vaccines since you were children. I don't know how many movies have been made with the plot being about a, quote, disease which could wipe out the whole city, unquote. The police, the government, and of course the hero must find the person or the canister of germs or whatever before it gets out and thousands or millions die. In some movies, the disease germ supposedly does get out, and within hours people are dropping like flies until the hero doctor works up a vaccine and vaccinates everybody and saves the city. These are all fiction, of course, but they are really propaganda. They are made to frighten you about supposedly epidemic-causing diseases and condition you to believe vaccines are a cure-all. I watched one movie on television during the swine flu hoax. It was about a plane load of people bound for Europe. One man got sick. A Negro doctor who just happened to be on board identified it as a sort of African flu. When the word got out, the officials at Paris refused to allow the plane to land. They were afraid it would wipe out France. Then London refused. They had to protect England and Berlin and so on. So the plane turned to Africa, where they could land where the people were, quote, unquote, immune to this certain type of flu. In a few minutes, others on the plane became ill. Then some began to die. And meanwhile, the pilot was in radio contact with the Center for Disease Control in Atlanta. And by the time the plane landed in Africa, they had worked up the vaccine, flown it to Africa by jet, the passengers were vaccinated, and the world was saved from this dread epidemic. The movie was extremely frightening to viewers. It was supposed to be. This same type of powerful scare propaganda has been repeated over and over in movie houses and on television screens. Would you suspect collusion between the movie makers and the doctors? I would. All right, I am going to recap what I have said so far about vaccines on these three broadcasts, and then I'm going to offer our free literature on vaccines to my radio audience. The literature will have information to prove my statements. Here is the recap. Number one, God commands His people to keep their bodies clean because God dwells in the believer. We are called the temple of God. Number two, Many vaccines are made from the blood and flesh of unclean animals, from decaying or dying flesh, and even in some instances, as I announced last week, from the living flesh of aborted babies. Therefore, they pollute and make our bodies unclean. And by the way, I know some of you express disbelief that our hallowed medical profession and our democratic government would allow the use of the bodies of aborted babies for the production of vaccines and then shoot those vaccines into the veins of our little children. Going on with the recap. Number 3. Many medical experts will admit that vaccines are injurious to the health and welfare of the person who is vaccinated. During the so-called swine flu scare in 1976, scores of private doctors and scientists around the nation tried to warn the people they could be paralyzed or die from the vaccine. A Dr. Morris, who had been doing research on flu vaccine for the federal government for over 20 years, warned President Ford and others that all flu vaccines cause paralysis. The Ford administration immediately fired Dr. Morris, then entered his laboratory, killed all of his experimental animals, confiscated and destroyed his research papers. They then proceeded with the swine flu vaccination, and unknown thousands of Americans were injured, many to the point of death. Dr. Morris also charged that vaccinations given American servicemen caused degenerative brain diseases, which shows up as long as 20 years after the soldier was vaccinated. He even identified the substance in the vaccine which causes the damage. It was Dr. Morris's revelations that all flu vaccines cause paralysis that led the insurance companies to refuse to insure the drug companies in 1976, and so Congress passed a law giving the drug companies and the doctors immunity and saying the government would pay claims on the swine flu vaccine. So far, no one has been paid. I believe because if they began to pay, the public would discover the swine flu vaccine victims number in the tens of thousands, not in the hundreds, as they try to tell us. During the summer and fall of 1976, I warned my radio audience of the deadly swine flu vaccine. In succeeding months, I received many letters about deaths and injuries, especially in old folks' homes. Some told that so many died they closed the home to the public. One nurse told me that in the home she worked in, almost all of the old people died within 6 months of receiving the swine flu vaccine. Most of the employees were afraid to reveal the massive deaths and injuries. The booklet, The Poison Needle, quotes medical authorities who believe vaccines cause cancer, encephalitis, paralysis, syphilis, poor eyesight, miscarriages, deformed babies, brain damage, and death. The evidence is so overwhelming, it is amazing that the American news media, the government, and the medical profession have been able to prevent most American citizens from realizing vaccines may be a major cause of sickness in America. To test your ability to reason, I am going to suggest something. And you parents of school children, and you school teachers, you listen very closely and see if you agree with me. I am going to tell you the real reason why outbreaks of so-called childhood diseases and the flu always come in the fall after school begins. The reason, we are told by our masters, is because children go back to school. Large numbers are close together in classrooms, and therefore they give each other diseases. So to prevent this, you must all vaccinate your children before school so they won't catch these terrible diseases. But children are together all summer. They play every day on the ball field, at the community swimming pool. They get together in great numbers in movie houses. Millions of them mingle at Disneyland, Yellowstone National Park, and other parks. In our big cities, 50,000 people, including children, will sit, touching each other at baseball and football games. They visit and stay with farm cousins, city cousins, small town cousins. They travel all over America on vacations, even mingling with tourists from foreign countries. And yet, no childhood disease epidemics ever take place in June, July, and August. How come the children don't give each other diseases in the summertime? These same children who supposedly give each other diseases in the fall. Why? Well, I'll tell you why childhood disease epidemics don't happen in the summer. It is because they have not just been vaccinated with a half dozen kinds of pus, germs, dried monkey blood, and other alien substances. But they do get those vaccinations in August and September. And presto chango, September, October, November, just weeks later, chickenpox, measles, mumps, diphtheria, colds, flu, and scores of other illnesses in millions of children who ran around among their neighbors, friends, relatives, and strangers all summer without disease, and your parents are told when they get these diseases in the fall, oh, it is from school. They caught it at school, and you never catch on. It is not school. It is vaccination. Until then, when I return, God willing, this is Pastor Emery saying goodbye. God bless you. Read your Bibles and pray for Christian America.